So our passage this morning, our sermon title this morning is Thanksgiving, and as you know, sometimes I like to go to weird passages to find things. So we're looking at Jonah chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, and when you think about the situation that Jonah is in, it's kind of weird that he is giving thanks to God, but he does. And so we'll be digging in that to a little bit. When kids pray, they say some of the silliest things, right? It's so cute to hear my little kids, the little ones pray. Reagan, a few years ago, we went around the table and we started saying, okay, let's pray and pray for what we're thankful for. And Reagan prayed, "Thank you, God, for the pilgrims and the Native Americans who started Thanksgiving," right? And so it was super cute and adorable, but I think back to how simple things were when I was a kid, and the things that I was thankful for are different than the things that I'm thankful for today. I think I have a little more depth of knowledge of what God has done for me, and as you understand who God is and you grow in your understanding of who he is, at times we lose sight of what to be thankful for, but he will remind you of all the things that he does for you and the provision that he makes for you. And he does that for Jonah in a very weird way. But Jonah finds a way to be thankful in a weird circumstance. So let's look at Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 7. It says, "When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. So one of my favorite movies and plays is Les Miserables, right? And there's two contrasting characters in this play, Jean Valjean and Javert, right? And in his life, Jean Valjean has experienced grace. He's experienced grace. So he was sent to prison for stealing a loaf of bread for his hungry family, right? And he was there for a long time. And Javert was one of the guards in the prison, and he was treated horribly while he was in prison. Then he was set free from prison. But he had to carry with him parole papers everywhere he went, and he had to check in. When he went to a new town, he had to take his papers to whoever was in charge in that place. And he looked for work, and he looked for a place to land, and nobody would give him a second opportunity. It was like a scarlet letter, you know. And so here is this man that feels completely desperate to find provision. And he got so desperate that when there was somebody that finally took him in, he felt like that wasn't going to be enough. So he stole from that guy, and he ran away, and they caught him with the things that this priest had, that he had stolen from this priest. And they drag him back to the house of the priest and say, "This man stole from you." And the priest said, "No, I gave these to him." And that was the first time in Javert's life, or Jean Valjean's life, that he experienced a grace that was liberating, right? This man gave him these things that would give him some sort of wealth to start a new life. And so his life changed in that moment. He lived a full life of grace and caring for others, because he had actually experienced grace. He was able to give grace because he was able to experience it. And Javert, on the other hand, is the complete opposite, right? He never experienced grace because he never recognized that he needed it, right? He kept the law perfectly. He was a man of the law, right? And he could see no redemption for anybody that had ever broken the law. And so when he let Javert free, you know, he basically said, "You're a criminal and you'll be a criminal for the rest of your life. That is what defines you." And so when Jean Valjean, after he had experienced grace and he started to his new life of, of living for God and caring for other people, he skipped parole. And Javert took it upon himself to track Jean Valjean down. He made it his life's work to find this guy that had broken parole and put him back in prison. Because he'd never experienced grace, he could not find it in his heart to say that Jean Valjean could be a good person. His obsession for, you know, finding justice for every little thing drives him. This Thanksgiving, we can thank God for so much. We have so much. And there's been much that is given to us. You know, we are a wealthy nation. We are. There's no denying that. You know, there's the statistics that some of the poorest among us are wealthy compared to the rest of the world. And I think that statistic, it bears out. We are wealthy. We have access to health care and education. We have family. We have friends. We have houses. We have food. We have a place where we can gather together and worship freely. We have a congregation. We have a family that we can be a part of to love and to support one another. We've been blessed as people. We have comfort. Right? The list can go on. I want us to dig a little deeper into Jonah now, understanding all that we've been given. Right? Jonah was kind of like Javert. Right? What was Jonah's mission? God said, go to the Ninevites and teach them about who I am so that they can turn from their wicked ways to me. Right? And what did Jonah say? No. Uh-uh. I'm not going there. Those people are wicked. Why would you give them the opportunity to turn from their wicked ways? Why do you care for those people? No, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. In fact, I'm going to try to run away from you. All right. So, the all-powerful God who created him, he thinks that he can escape what God has called him to do. I mean, that to me is the most arrogant thing in Scripture. To feel like you can run away from and escape God and his will. Right? So he gets on a boat and he's heading in the opposite direction, and a storm comes over the boat, and they're trying to make sure that the boat doesn't go under, and he says, guess what, guys? It's my fault. You know, there was some realization there. He was self-aware enough to say, wait a second, I think God is doing this because I'm on the boat. So y'all grab me and throw me overboard and see what happens. And, you know, the storm calmed and the boat was okay, but he's drowning in the water. And then what happens? A big fish, some say a whale, but a big fish came and swallowed him. Right? And that's where we got to this passage. He's saying these words in the belly of a big fish. What? God, I'm thankful that I'm in the belly of a fish. But he recognized the salvation of God and the grace in the situation. Even though it was probably not the most pleasant thing to happen, he would surely have drowned without it. He would have surely drowned without God sending this fish to swallow him up. And then what happened? We know that the fish spit him out onto dry land and told basically toward Nineveh. And as he prayed, he said, I'm going to do what you ask me to do. In verse 7, when my life was fainting away, when I was drowning, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. As he was drowning, he thought of God and he prayed to him. His first thought was to pray to God. He was in danger And his first thought was to pray. Have y'all heard the saying, there are no atheists in foxholes? Right? You've heard that. A lot of times when people are in trouble, they turn to God. Not everybody does. But I think back to 9/11. You know, on that day, our country was attacked. It sparked an uprising in patriotism. But it also drove people to the churches. The churches were full after that day. For a while, people went to their knees and they prayed. When people are in a tough spot, they oftentimes run to God when they might not have before. Jonah did the same thing. He's running away from God. He's drowning, and then he lifts his voice to God, and God sends salvation. Right? I think this might be the key difference between Jonah and Javert. Jonah, in the belly of the whale, was still able to see that salvation came from God's hand. Javert is stuck in this pattern, this selfish pattern, that I am good, and so I can save myself. That is the anti-gospel. That goes against who God is, that goes against what he teaches. Every world religion outside of Christianity says, if you are good enough, God will save you. If you are good enough. And so they spend the rest of their lives trying to be good enough, or they give up because they know they can't. Christianity does something so countercultural, because it says, you know what? It doesn't matter how bad you are, God loves you. It doesn't matter how much shame you carry around with you, God loves you. It doesn't matter how the world labels you, God loves you, and he wants you to come to him. He's calling you to come to him. It's not based on who you are or what you've done, but based on what has been done for you that you find salvation. Right? Javert is a lot like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. They believed that their observation was of the law was good enough to earn them a place in heaven. And Jesus pushed back harshly against that. Right? Jonah thought he was better than the Ninevites. Jonah thought, those Ninevites, they're horrible people. They don't deserve to know who God is. They need to rot. Right? I am good. I am perfect. And so, God, you know, you're obligated to save me. But what does he do? He sins against God and running away from what God called him to do. So in his condemnation of Nineveh and the Ninevites, he sinned against God in the fact that he was taking credit for who he was and the salvation that he had. All right? That's a strange thing for a prophet to do. But Jonah had experienced grace. He knew that if he turned to God and repented, God would forgive him. He knew that God would provide hope in a dark place. Javert placed his hope in himself. He looked to himself to find the way to salvation. He thought that perfect observation of the law led to salvation, and he was wrong. In verse 8, it says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. If there is something that you bow down to that is more important to you than God, it is ripping you away from him. It is. If it's your own self-pride and self-image, it is still pointing you away from him and toward hopelessness. There is no hope without Christ, which is the means to our salvation. There's nothing that this world can give us to save ourselves. No obedience, no possession, no other person, no idol, no ideology, provides the hope that God provides to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is nothing trustworthy for salvation except for Christ. In verse 9 it says, "But I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And Jonah says this in the belly of a big fish, that with thanksgiving he will sacrifice to God. God changed his heart. Now, after he goes to the Ninevites and he sees them turn to God, he pouts. "I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you saved these people." Right? And so he pouts and he goes and he sits under a leaf, and God sends a worm to gnaw on the leaf too and to deteriorate. Could you imagine? Right? The only sanctuary you could find in this place was a leaf, and then God sends a worm to gnaw on it. Right? He's pouting. But he saw salvation in God, and he went and did what God asked him to do. We are all at times in dark circumstances. We are all at times in places, dark nights of the soul. Have y'all heard that saying? A dark night of the soul. It's a place where it's hard to see God. But God in those dark moments still wants us to live in obedience to Him. Not so that we can earn salvation, but so that we can show Him we love Him even when we're in the depths. Even when we're in the depths. Even when we're in the belly of a big fish, so to speak. God wants us to love Him and show Him our obedience. And He promises to be there with us. He promises to be there with us. And Jonah says, "I'll do what you ask me to do. I'll keep my vow. I'll be your prophet." And then he says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." What an amazing proclamation. It belongs to no one else but to the Lord. Jean Valjean experienced grace. He was able to live with grace. If we truly understand where our salvation comes from, it makes it easier for us to go out and love people that are hard to love. It makes it easier to break our hearts for people who are out there struggling to hear about who God is, because we were once in their shoes. In fact, we still are. But God over and over and over again provides salvation for us, and He can do the same for them. Right? If nothing can break your heart, if nothing can break your heart, it is impossible to have grace for others. We need to have our hearts broken for those that need to hear the truth about who He is. This presentation this morning, if that doesn't break your heart, nothing will. Allow that to break your heart. That's not the only dire circumstance in our country. That's not the only dire circumstance in our world. There are so many things that are going on that are evil and wicked, and we can speak truth into that and bring justice and mercy and grace and love and restoration. But we have to understand that we were once saved by the grace and mercy of God when we were in a dark and hopeless place. Javert was given grace by Jean Valjean. All right, so later in the movie or later in the play, Javert is, he's trying to get behind the enemy lines, and they catch him, and they know who he is, and they're going to kill him, right? And Jean Valjean says, "Okay, let me do it." And he drags Javert back, and he sets him free. He says, "I'm not going to kill you." And he pretends like he kills him, and then he lets him go. Javert couldn't live with that. Perfect obedience, justice was the way to live. And here is Jean Valjean, this evil, wicked person, and he showed me grace. How can I live in a world where Jean Valjean is forgiven? How can I live in a world where Jean Valjean is the good guy and I'm the bad guy? He was unable to experience grace and recognize that it was a gift. And because of that, he killed himself. That's sad. It's sad. There's a lot to give thanks for. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Thank you to the Pilgrims and the Indians, the Native Americans, for creating that holiday for us. We're going to give thanks this week. Abraham Lincoln actually established the holiday as a federal holiday for us. And he said it was a time to give thanks to our God. We need to give thanks to our God for the salvation that he provided, for the gospel, for the good news, that his son would enter into this crazy world for a purpose. He came with the intention of giving his life to save every one of us who places our faith in him. What a glorious story, right? And if we hear the truth and we respond to it and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. We are redeemed. All those dark things about us become untrue. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God. We get to come to his table as children. We are given an inheritance that doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Christ. But God gave it to us by his grace and his mercy. Experience that. Break your heart. Understand where you came from. Understand where you are when you stand in the light of who God says you are. I am loved by you. That's who I am. I am loved by you. Thank you, God, for the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through the mercy and grace of your love for us. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's pray. God, you have created a beautiful story for each and every one of us that has placed our faith in you. You have made us new. You've broken the chains of bondage that would keep us away from the truth. And you've given us a new heart so that we can live in grace and in mercy, so that we can hand out that grace and mercy to others. Lord, you've called us to love our neighbor as ourselves. So help us, Lord, to stand on the truth that we are loved by you, so that we can teach that to those that need to hear. You are a powerful and merciful and loving God. And so we give thanks to you. Forgive us our sins. Make us whole again. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.